Great Darius Rucker. Love this song. So, we're having a little trouble with the phones and a little trouble with our text line. So, stick with us. 1-877-332-8255. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit about the situation going on in the National Hockey League. The free agency starts tomorrow, right? We know that. The big situation for the teams out there is there's a lot of guys who are looking to get out of their contracts or their no trade, their no move, or leave their team to go to another place. The biggest right now name out there is Norris Trophy winning Zach Werenski from the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Columbus has got some situations that are very, very interesting. Kirill Marchenko is another one that looks like he might have some interest. So David Pagnotta, who's a very inside guy in the National Hockey League when it comes to journalists, talking about the situation with Columbus, that Zach Werenski is being sought after big time. And why wouldn't you? The interest in Werenski is high. He's a heck of a player, very mobile defenseman, good offensively, great shot, runs the power play, smart, you name it, you'd like Zach Werenski on your team. Now, again, he's got a contract with the Carolina Hurricanes, but the rumor is, and it seems to be stronger than a rumor, is that he wants to be elsewhere. And right now, Dallas Stars, Philadelphia Flyers, Toronto Maple Leafs, Tampa Bay Lightning, Carolina Hurricanes all have interest in Zach Werenski. At some point in time, they're going to have to line up and give up players for him, because Donnie Waddell, the general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets, has stated that if he is going to trade Werenski, he wants bodies. He doesn't want prospects. He doesn't want draft choices. He wants players. So a Norris Trophy winning defenseman and one of the top players in the league anywhere, gold medal winner, Zach Werenski is going to get a lot of interest. On the other side of the league, in the Western Conference, it looks like Vegas. Oh, by the way, Vegas did a couple things. Vegas hired Joel Ward to be their head coach with Henderson. Now, Joel was assistant coach with Bruce Cassidy and John Tortorella. And then he's now going to just move down the highway to Henderson. Not very far. It's connected. It's a suburb of Vegas, kind of. And he's going to coach the Henderson Silver Knights. I know a lot of you don't like the way that Vegas does business. I love the way they do business. I was surprised at the Pavel Dorofeev trade. Big time surprise, because he played so well. But that is Vegas. And they promote from within when they get the opportunity, when it comes to the coaching ranks. And this situation for Joel Ward, outstanding person. And so he is going to coach Anderson. But also, the rumor is on Rasmus Anderson that the feeling is that Vegas is going to extend him. I got to tell you, gang, I was not impressed with Rasmus Anderson at all. I was when he played for Calgary, because Calgary wasn't that good. And so they didn't have a real strong core of defensemen. So Rasmus Anderson stood out. But playing in the playoffs, especially against the Carolina Hurricanes, he was almost afraid of the puck. I mean, he didn't want it. And I thought he was, I was not impressed with him. So I'm surprised that they are going to try to extend him. So that's interesting. And also the Stanley Cup champions, you know, the John Carlson, formerly of the Washington Capitals, Stanley Cup winner there, went to Anaheim on a trade, which crushed everybody in Washington at the time. Like, guys were crying. Ovi and Wilson, they were so disappointed. So anyway, the sense is that Carolina is looking at John Carlson, who's a free agent, and John Carlson has been rumored to have being said that he would like to play in Carolina. Who wouldn't? The way that that team rolls along and the way that that team has been able to build the culture of winning and build a culture of you play a certain way, we're all in this together, and let's go. 1-877-332-8255. The phone lines are working. We're still working on our text line here because it's not loading. And our guests are ignoring us today. So it's just us, gang, for right now. 1-877-332-8255. But the biggest story going into free agency tomorrow is certainly Sergei Bobrovsky. As the Florida Panthers made a deal, and you have to think they're going for it, right? They trade the New Jersey Devils trade Jacob Markstrom for Evan Rodriguez, Jesper Boqvist, and Ben Steeves. Now, when you look at that team, the Florida Panthers, they are a very interesting group. If they are healthy now, and maybe they are going to be because we know that the last 3 years have just been devastating to them. So the other aspect that we haven't talked about much with the Florida Panthers is that Alexander Barkov is back. And if you don't think Alexander Barkov is that much of a difference maker, you are wrong. Alexander Barkov, watch what he did the World Championships. The dude is a player. The best, in my opinion, the best 200-foot player in the game today. So if you're looking at their lines, and tell me how much you'd hate playing against this team. So Brady Tkachuk, Alexander Barkov, Sam Reinhart, Carter Verhaeghe, Sam Bennett, Matthew Tkachuk. Bennett and Tkachuk on the same line. Ugh. Lusterainen, Anton Lundell, Brad Marchand. You've got guys who just you hate playing against on all four lines because the fourth line is Garnet Hathaway, Jonah Gadjevic, who I know Jonah for playing, and Cole Reinhart. And then you've got now Radko Gudas, who just got traded to the Florida Panthers. Guy who does nothing but hit people. Sometimes hits them legally, sometimes he doesn't. Forsling, Ekblad, Mikula, Jones, Kulikov, Valenskes, Gudas, and then you've got Markstrom in net, and they just acquired Akira Schmid from the Vegas Golden Knights. So, Oiler fans, I know you hate them, the Vegas Golden Knights. Well, you're going to hate them more because that team is stacked and they look like they're going for it. Bill Zito, very aggressive general manager. 1-877-332-8255. We're also talking about your top Canadian sports moment of all time. Tomorrow is Canada Day. So we thought, why not talk about that? And also your favorite or top, and it's your opinion. No, you're not wrong. Top Canadian athlete of all time. It's the Green Zone, 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. Always rocking it, Donovan. Great job. Let's go right away because I don't have a lot of time. But Tommy Tolbert from Golden State Warriors and the Tom Tolbert Show, former NBA player, joins. Hi, Tom.
Drew, how the hell are you? First off, I got to say I'm sorry I'm late. I went over to the nursery today and I figured it's been a while since I've stolen a baby. So I went over to the nursery, checked out the crop this year. Underwhelming. So I just came home and actually I had to go to the damn nursery to buy bark and sod to fill in bunny holes. We got a rabbit, and that rabbit digs like no other. Yeah. So I'm trying to stay one step ahead of the bunny. I figure, you know what? We're tops on the evolutionary chain, so the bunny's not going to get the best of me. So okay. That's where I was, and I apologize.
That's okay, but I don't have a lot of time, but we'll try to squeeze in as much as we can. We've got to go to the big news of the day, though. Like LeBron and maybe Anthony Davis to Golden State, and Draymond's maybe going to stay. What's happening with the Warriors?
Well, I think they're just trying to give that unit one more shot at it. Like, Steph is still a guy that can be the best player on a championship team, or maybe a co-pilot along with another other really good player. But Steph's still playing high-level basketball when he's healthy. And I think that's what you can say about all of these guys. If they get Anthony Davis, can he stay healthy? Can LeBron stay healthy? Can Draymond stay healthy? Can Porzingis stay healthy? I think it's a lot of fun to think about the possibilities. If they get those guys, obviously it would have been a lot more fun to watch them play, let's say, 8 years ago. Yeah. But that's not that you couldn't fit them onto the salary cap 8 years ago. Look, OKC is still better. San Antonio is still better at a minimum. But I think this gives them a shot at it. And hell, I mean, who doesn't like it when the circus comes to town? It's going to be a flat-out circus. If this indeed happens, if they get both LeBron and AD, it's going to be a flat-out circus wherever they go.
It's going to be wild, without a doubt. So I was just going to say, with that experience that they have, but the way the game is now, how fast it is, and you just mentioned OKC, how are they just going to have to try to outscore the opposition? Because they're not going to be able to defend, are they?
Well, I mean, defending should be, I don't know, defending maybe even a little bit easier, because okay. I think they're going to slow the pace. They're not going to run. AD, when healthy, is still a really good defender. Draymond kind of picks and chooses his spots. Porzingis, really good rim defender. Then when and if you get Jimmy Butler back, and I didn't even mention him, but if you get him back, I guess he'd be a part of a trade if they got AD. But if he's on the team, let's say AD didn't come, or it's just the team as is now, he's a really good, tough-minded defender. But, like, I don't know. I have no idea. I think the Warriors are just saying, like, Joe Lacob is never afraid to take a big swing at something. He's never afraid to go out and try to get a massive star to help sell tickets and drum up interest with the Warriors. And, again, I think this gives them a fighter's shot. I think what people miss about the playoffs is when I say they're not better than OKC or San Antonio, I believe that. But it doesn't mean they got to play them both during the course of a playoff run if they make it that far. Those two teams could play each other. Maybe you only have to play one. Maybe somebody gets hurt. So the whole thing is just give yourself multiple cracks at being in the playoffs and trying to win a title, and eventually you'll break through, which they already have four times, by the way. I keep trying to remind Warrior fans of this. They've won four championships, okay? Their coach knows what they're doing. Their team knows what they're doing. Back off a little bit. Damn.
It's like Rider fans here, buddy. Hey, Giannis gets traded. Ja Morant gets traded. LaMelo Ball gets traded. Yep. Kawhi, there's rumors he's coming back to Toronto. The constant player movement, how much can the right move at the right time change a team's direction, change a team's future?
Oh, I think it's huge. I mean, the best remedy for an organization is drafting and developing.
Right.
We saw it with the Warriors, right? They get Steph, they get Klay, they get Draymond. And then even before that, they got Iguodala, who kind of saw what was going on with the Warriors and said, hey, I want to be a part of that. And then they made the trade for Bogut with Monte Ellis. I mean, that was a fun, exciting backcourt, Monte and Steph. It was never going to win anything, but it was fun. So you get Bogut in here, and that's how they put their team together. But they put it together with the draft. The Sharks are doing that right now. The Giants, when they won their three championships, Buster Posey, Brandon Bell, Lincecum, Kane, Bumgarner, like, the draft is where it's at. And free agency is exciting. It's always fun to get a good player to wear your uniform. Always is. But you can't build the foundation of your team through free agency or through trades. It can certainly help, and it can elevate you. There's no doubt about it. But I still think you got to have the foundation be the draft. I'll try to do it real quickly. Ja Morant, don't know. Ja Morant, I thought they sold him for pennies on the dollars. Basically let you know what the league thinks of Ja Morant right now. They don't think of Ja Morant what they thought of Ja Morant 4 years ago. I can tell you that. I don't know how it's going to work. Him, Drew Holiday, Damian Lillard, Sharp. Like, I have no idea. They're like super guard heavy now. And it's still kind of Denny Abdia's team. Like, I think he's the best player on that team. Giannis certainly going to help. I think when people talk about the depth, that absolutely took a hit. The thing I wonder about them is, can they stretch the court? How are they going to be able to stretch the court? Because their two best players are Bam Adebayo and Giannis, and they're both paint players. Giannis is more a rim player, Bam's more of a paint player. God, the LaMelo Ball.
Yeah.
Like, I think Charlotte's having a whale of an offseason because they traded Miles Bridges also to Phoenix and got rid of, offloaded that contract. I think they're doing a really nice job in Charlotte. We'll see if they can take advantage of it. LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards, no idea how that's going to work. Like, none whatsoever. Like, I'm not, I'll admit, I'm not a LaMelo Ball guy. Too much style over substance. I don't think he makes enough winning plays. I don't think he takes the game seriously enough sometimes. I don't think defensively he puts forth the effort. So maybe it changes with a new coach and a new team. But I don't know. That one to me seems like, let's put it this way. I think it's got a better chance of going south than it does north.
Hey, buddy.
And if Kawhi went back to Toronto,
yep.
I mean, look, Scotty Barnes is a hell of a player. Scotty Barnes is like probably the next level of guys that like when you talk about superstars, he rarely gets mentioned. He's like right at that next level. I mean, this is a guy who can do everything. Not a great shooter, but he finds a way to score. He can pass. He can defend the hell out of the top of the ball, and he can get off your weak side. He can block shots. So I'm a big fan of Scotty Barnes. So that'd be interesting to see him go back there because, I mean, he's a guy that'll probably get a statue built for playing 1 year in an organization. Like,
with that shot, without a doubt.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, buddy, I got to cut you off because I'm up against the clock. Go fill those holes and give the bunny a pet phone.
Hey, you can, I don't want to press, but I mean, I can stay if you need me to. I feel bad that I came on late. So if you need, if you want me to hang on, I can do that. Or
I'm talking hockey next segment. What are you talking about? Although you could do that with me too, because we've done it. You know what? Next time when I'm on your show, I'm going to shorten it up for big time. Thanks, pal.
I love you, pal.
Love you too, man. We'll talk to you later.
See you, Drew.
Okay.
Bye.
The great Tom Tolbert. Tommy Tolbert's got a podcast, The Tom Tolbert Show. Check it on YouTube. He's absolutely the best. I love him to death. We'll be back on the Green Zone, 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. I love how that song hits in, man. Donovan Remenda in the booth today, kicking it with the music. Start off with Stevie Wonder. Keep going with AC/DC, Stiff Upper Lip, all kinds of great stuff. Welcome back to the program. Drew Remenda in for Jamie Nye. Jamie Nye is away right now, so they're scraping the bottom of the barrel with me. But we lifted up with fantastic guests, and this next guest is nothing short of amazing. Jamie Thomas joins us. We probably should have pre-recorded, eh, Jamie?
You know, I remember my first sports director is like, no inside jokes on your broadcast because people don't understand. I'm like, but I think there's something funny to when two people find something funny and then no one knows what it is. Like, it's a secret between the two of you that they're like, I really want to know what they're talking about. You know what I mean?
I do. Absolutely.
Like, we don't have to share everything with people that listen and watch us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If I want to laugh with you for the next 10 minutes one else knows what we're laughing about, we have that right.
We'll start doing all my idioms that I absolutely hate.
No, you're like, what was Drew talking about today?
How's Winnipeg, my friend?
Well, it's settling down a little bit because as you know, you get everybody all worked up about something that's going to happen before the draft.
Right.
And we all know none of these things ever happen at the draft. Like we all get sucked in, and I love all the insiders to death, and a lot of them are my friends, but they get people worked up into a frenzy that something has to happen, and then it never happens at the draft. Because whatever happens with Connor Hellebuyck is beyond complicated. It's not something that can just happen because we want to make a national event out of it. I got sucked into it too. I'm like, oh, for sure. Like Buffalo, it's in Buffalo. They're going to make the trade announcement. They got the Jets are going to get the fourth overall pick. They're going to say it's Connor Hellebuyck going to Buffalo. And then I got sucked into it too, and it didn't happen. But it's settling down now because people are here. They're excited about the new players that the Jets drafted. They're excited about the future of the hockey club with the development camp going on right now. So, but it will hang over top of the Manitoba Capitol and all Jets fans all summer or however long this continues to go on. But I will say this, Kevin Cheveldayoff repeatedly said Connor Hellebuyck is under contract with us for blah 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 amount of time, right? So it's just like he's a Jet until whatever happens and they figure this out. But it is I mean, it's a Facebook setting. It's complicated 1,000 times that, right? And we'll have to see how this all transpires.
All right, I'm glad that Kevin said that. And Steve Eisman came out a couple of days ago and said the same
thing.
Which is, you're signed to a 20 till 2030, 31, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's you committed to the team.
Yeah.
And you signed that extension. Like, it's not only the organization that is committing to this whole relationship. It's the player too.
Yep.
And that's what gets lost in all of this. Like, it's fine that you, and again, this has never been clarified that Connor Hellebuyck has asked for a trade. That's never been clarified and never been by Connor Hellebuyck's agent himself or the organization here. But if it is or whatever, this is Chevy has been very clear and was clear before the draft, after the draft. He is a member of the Winnipeg Jets. He signed a contract. He's under contract. That's key. And and Chevy and Stevie Y are veterans, general managers, and they know what this is. They will not be pressured into something they don't want to do just because somebody wants them to do it.
We've been talking to Jamie Thomas, by the way, from True North Sports Entertainment. Jamie's everywhere with the Winnipeg Jets. The one thing that we've had a lot of conversation on just this week, I've only been doing it for at least 2 days right now, is that when guys who sign a no trade or no move, and then they come ask for a trade, but they get to dictate which teams they go to.
Right.
All our listeners are going, how does that work? And why is that working in the way it is? Like, what is your personal thoughts on sign the contract for no trade? You also get a bonus.
Right.
And then you walk over and go in 2 years, 3 years, when things aren't going the way you want, I need a trade, but I'm only going to go to these teams.
Right. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So you've negotiated into your contract, I want a no trade clause, right? So like, you're asking for certainty of where you and your family are going to be for X amount of years, and you've asked for that, and the organization has given you that. So I'm sure in some ways, and when you look at this, the same when Mark Scheifele signed the contract, the same time Connor Hellebuyck signed the contract, they were going to be Jets for life. That's what the whole idea was behind it when they had the news conference. Everything before the regular season started, I remember it like yesterday. Mm-hmm. I thought at the time there was no way either one of those players was coming back. That's what it felt like. And somehow, some way, because Chevy doesn't get enough credit for any of this stuff, but they figured out a way. We are going to try and win a Stanley Cup, and you are part of that plan. So that's what happens. So I have a hard time with all this stuff when things don't go well, and I understand. Listen, it was a great moment in American hockey history.
Yeah.
It was. Like, I got caught, like, even as a Canadian, I'm like, okay, this is great. It's fantastic. There's a lot of players here have worked very hard to get to this point. As much as it sucked watching Canada not win gold that day, it was great. I was excited about the story. I'm like, okay, you know, in 20 years, they're going to have a documentary about this. I've watched a million 1980 U.S. Olympic documentaries, and I love all of them, right? It's just fun to see this happen. And this one, even 20 years from now, maybe this thing will still burn out because they beat Canada. But it's still to a point. Your club team has made it. You guys have agreed to this deal, and I'm happy that Chevy has said you are a Winnipeg Jet. Period. And again, like I said, no one's gonna be pressured into making a deal they don't want to make.
So let's talk about the Jets overall.
Yeah.
What happened? This is a team that, when you look at this team on paper, when you look at that forward group and the defensemen, how big and tough and heavy they play, and the goaltending, this team, what happened, Bill?
Yeah, I mean, I've been asked this a lot. How many times have you come on our show and said, I'm like, are the Sharks rebuilding again this year, Drew?
I don't know.
not this time, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So certain teams carry, like, there's an expectation, obviously, when you win the President's Trophy, and I feel you should have got past Dallas.
Yeah.
Things just didn't go your way. You know, Scheifele was banged up. I'm not going to go down the list what happened in the playoffs that year. But I think it all started to me. Adam Lowry has hip surgery in the offseason and doesn't have an offseason, right? You're not doing your usual weightlifting. You're not doing your usual skating drills. You're not getting in shape. You're working through, you're rehabbing from a hip surgery. And I've never had a hip surgery, but it doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun,
nope,
even for a professional athlete to get over. So when you lose the identity of your third line because Adam Lowry's not there, plus you don't have his leadership in the dressing room for 6-7 weeks, that's tough. And then he's behind it. And anybody that hasn't played in the National Hockey League doesn't understand that you can't just go in November and catch up to everybody else just because you're a professional athlete. It doesn't work that way. And their third line did not have that identity. And every time you've come to Winnipeg, Drew, or whenever the Jets come to San Jose, what are you thinking of? The Jets' third line, the quote-unquote best line, third line in hockey, and how they drive play.
To play against.
Yeah, they are not fun to play against. And they were, and with Adam Lowry not at 100%, and fighting his way back into the lineup and fighting his way back to 100%, that's where it was lost. And then Mason Appleton, you love the guy. Didn't score enough for this hockey club to offer him a contract, keep him around, but his speed was missed dearly on that third line. Nikolai Ehlers' speed on the second line that was missing. And then Ehlers being on the number one power play 2 years ago was a revelation. That's why they were number one in the National Hockey League. When he rips through the neutral zone, he's backing down defensemen. It made their entries so much more electric with a man advantage. It was hard for any team to stop. And sure, people figured it out in the playoffs and so on and so forth, but it was just hard to deal with. So losing Ehlers, losing Appleton, not having Adam Lowry at full strength, Neil Pionk didn't play a full season. Dylan Sandberg started the year with a bad wrist injury. Cole Perfetti had a high ankle sprain. Again, another injury that people don't really understand unless you've had one. They are not fun to get over, no matter how young and how fit you are. So you're missing a key bunch of your core players, either through not with the organization anymore or not at 100%. And that's how it just slowly started to unravel. And I will remember this forever for last year when the Jets went out west and they played in Los Angeles, San Jose, and Anaheim.
Yeah.
You just saw they were slow. They were a step behind. And when you're playing San Jose and you're playing Anaheim and the speed that then the youth that they had last year and the guys are all coming out, it was the coming out party for the Sharks and it was for the Ducks too. It was really hard to deal with. And then you just saw how they didn't figure out in time that they weren't fast enough to keep up for the rest of the league. Cause it keeps getting younger and it keeps getting faster. And the Jets have admitted that they need to get faster this off season. And we'll see how that looks because it's clearly a focus for the organization this year.
Appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks for joining us. You're a good man.
Sorry, I missed you earlier. I missed you earlier. You know me and technology.
Hey, who are you talking to right now?
It's almost embarrassing sometimes when you're like, oh, my phone didn't ring.
Well, I have to go on yours and Sarah's show and try to figure out what the hell, where would I look on my iPad? Yeah. Do I look over here or there? I'm looking shifty when I'm on your show all the time.
Like, my wife tells me she could do my job, and I think she probably could. So.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate it.
Okay, man. All the time. All the best.
Okay, you too. The great Jamie Tullis from True North Sports and Entertainment. He and Sarah have a show, Sarah Oleski, have a show before every daily show on a podcast. And I go on with them when they're playing the Sharks. And you guys already figured out because of the way that the text line went today that I don't know what the hell I'm doing when it comes to technology. That's why I got my son here. We'll be back with more from the Green Zone, 650 CKOM and 980 CJM. Never go wrong with the late, great Stevie Ray Vaughan. Ever listen to the Vaughan Brothers album? It's fantastic. These guys can rock. 1-877-332-8255. That is the phone number. That is the text line as well. Text line is back up and running. So let's go to Chris. And Chris writes, I think the NHL executives, Bettman and company, are completely looking the other way with all these players. There's obviously been tampering happening. He's talking in reference to Werenski wanting out of Columbus, Hughes in Vancouver, Kachuk, Calgary, Kachuk, Ottawa, Hellebuck, Winnipeg, Larkin, Detroit. Although Jamie Thomas cleared it up. It's not been out there. It's not been confirmed by anybody that Connor Hellebuck has asked for a trade. But anyway, there has obviously been tampering happening behind the scenes, and they're just letting it happen. In the next collective agreement, they need to limit the amount of no-move clauses given to each team. The majority of these players want to leave Canadian teams and go to the States, no tax states, which Bettman says has no bearing on the subject. It is absolutely a major factor now with players wanting to leave their teams, which they have contracts with. First off, Chris, I would just correct you on Mr. Bettman and the NHL. The NHL, once the contract is on the team, it's on the team. Mr. Bettman has done, and I know people don't like Mr. Bettman, but he has done more for Canadian hockey than any previous commissioner because the salary cap, because he's been able to have cost certainty, because of revenue sharing. I may not like it, but Mr. Bettman has been a fantastic commissioner for the National Hockey League. This isn't on him. This is not on Mr. Bettman and the NHL at all. It's on the general managers of the teams, and it's on the players themselves. Now, you're right that many American players don't want to play in Canada. They'd rather play in the U.S. There's reasons, financial. If you are an American player and you've got a house in Canada and you've got your job in Canada and you've got a house, a residence in the United States, you're paying taxes in two places. And Canada, the Canadian taxes are heavier than in the U.S. Brady Tkachuk's saving a couple million dollars by going to Florida. That was the last thing I read that's about just how it breaks down. So yet they do want to leave. And after the Four Nations, the nationalism really took over on Team USA from what everybody has been saying and the rumors out there about the U.S. guys are going, why can't we put a super team together like the NBA? And they love playing with each other. So that's why I think you're seeing what you're seeing with these teams. And also the lack of staying with it. There's a little bit of a character flaw in that, if you're asking for my opinion on that. When we come back, we will talk to Britton Gray about all kinds of stuff. And don't forget, your favorite Canadian sports moment and favorite Canadian athlete since tomorrow's Canada's Day at 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.